from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run.
Same game. So anything changed? Or same, I can say like the pitcher here, they got more experience. But the more experience you got, I need to take my pitch. If I see the pitch in the right and so on, I need to make this adjustment and get good contact. If it's not in the zone, I need to take it. So it's the same baseball, just different stadiums.
It's Christopher Morel right there talking about, you know,
the difference. You know, I love him, right?
He's your favorite player. He's your biggest superstar in 5 years.
I ain't say all that, but go ahead.
he's the guy that makes you want to watch Cubs baseball right
exactly
now, which is good. I mean, you want the exciting players. You want passionate players. I mean, that's what makes baseball fun, especially at this level where you can translate your youth and your love for the game and still do it at a high level, at the biggest level in Major League Baseball. And so it's good that he's up. I'll never forget, I was listening to Mully and Haw. And Dustin was getting into it with Mully and Haw because Dustin was upset. Dustin, the executive producer of Mully and Haw, was upset that on the first day of being called up, he didn't get into the game. And then he's like, at least a pinch hit. They're like, there was a pinch hit opportunity, and he's like, you should have brought Morel. Like, why isn't he playing? Like, he should have been there in that moment. And then Mully and Haw were just getting on him. Like, dude, he just got there. He probably got off a plane. Like, blah, 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 blah. And then the next game when he plays, he hits the home run. And I just was cheering for Dustin because I was like, see, this is what he was talking about.
But maybe he wouldn't hit the home run just to play devil's advocate. If he hadn't had the nice day of just getting back. Or maybe he would have, but maybe he wouldn't have.
But maybe he would have.
I'm with you. I'm just letting you know there's always another side to the proverbial coin.
I hear it. That's your sports broadcaster.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Now, that's just me, the sports fan growing up.
Marshall Harris, catch him tonight. 10:37.
Hey, man. I mean, I think Nick Madrigal is the guy that got the at-bat. Maybe he hits the home run.
Okay, Nicky Two Strikes is definitely not hitting that.
Wow, not Nicky Two Strikes. Yeah. That's what we're doing?
Nicky Two Strikes is awesome. He's former White Sox. Love that guy.
But that's right. That's where he came from. That's right.
It is where he came from.
He was
welcome.
The fourth overall pick?
Hey. See what he's doing there? I'm trying to show some love to the Cubs, and I just wanted to put some facts out there that he came from.
He's like, how can I shade the White Sox in
what he does. Shady Sean. Damn.
Shady Sean, Sean the Shader. However,
you said that, I was like, that's going
to
stick.
That's too good to
Shady
not stick.
Sean.
Shady Sean. Triple S.
The important thing is Christopher Morel is out here doing work.
Yes.
And having fun.
And contributing.
Look, these people who don't want people to have fun, the old timers, if you will, the men.
Get off my lawn.
Yelling at the clouds and all that.
Yeah.
You know what? The game, just like life, will soon pass you by. It's fine.
How do you think the Cubs bounce back from an 11-1 slacking yesterday by the Minnesota Twins?
Stroman's on the mound. They'll bounce back just fine.
That's what I think.
It's fine. It's 162 games. I don't get too... This isn't the NFL. I don't get too wrapped up in one game.
Okay.
Ever.
It's just like with the lineup changes, sometimes it gets tough when you see out there. Stroman hasn't had a victory since April 7th.
So he's due, is what you're saying.
I know purists don't care about wins. I, as a baseball fan, do. But he hasn't had one since April 7th. But he's pitched 6 innings in every single game this year except for one. At least 6 innings. That's impressive.
The one thing I'll say is what I do love is that Christopher Morel's now at the top of the order as opposed to the bottom of the order.
Okay.
He came, you know, he's always 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Now he's leading off. And that's, I need that energy off the rip. And I wonder when Nico Horner comes back, what they're going to do.
The Cubs do have one of those issues where it's like, you know, you have a lot of B-level players. And so there's no one that necessarily stands out that are that becomes an A. And that's what you're hoping for. That, you know, you're able to differentiate and figure out who is the hot hand, so to speak, in a given moment. And that's where Ross is, you know, tasked with doing that day in and day out.
I talked to David Ross before the season started, sat down with him in Arizona, and he was just like, look, this is the most prepared I've been as a manager, plus with the roster, to do something. And so he understands people are watching him and paying attention to what he's doing. Because before, when he had a team that wasn't bad in year one, but was certainly didn't get him back to where they wanted to be,
yeah,
he was an inexperienced manager. Now he is an experienced manager. So it's time to put those experiences, the learning experiences, to work.
Yeah. And he is. He's doing it in real time, and we're seeing it. I mean, if you would have talked to most Cubs fans and said, hey, 39 games into the season, the Cubs are going to be one game under 500. Shady Sears. If I would have told you 39 games into the season, the Cubs would be one game under 500.
Yeah, I'm
taking it. What say you?
I'm
of course. Right.
Definitely taking it with a plus 42 run differential.
Right. Especially that's the other thing, too. Like, you look at their, like, it's like their Pythagorean win theory. It basically just, like, accounts for how many runs the Cubs have scored compared to how many runs they've given up. They're actually 24-14 in that regard. So, like, numbers are showing they're not playing great, like, as a whole, but, like, their records aren't showing how great they're playing as a whole, but, like, they're a lot better than their record shows, and if they start getting some of that offensive performance a little bit more, they could possibly, like, they may not run away with the NL Central, but be one of the best teams in that division.
Yeah, I mean, they've had some tough stretches, right? Like, if you're looking at the beginning of the season, you know, where they're dropping three in a row there, then they get hot. Then they come back, drop, you know, three in a row a little bit later. And like they had those spurts where they're hitting those small losing streaks. And then when they win by a large margin because the bats are showing up. But, you know, it's like any team in Major League Baseball, you're talking about consistency. You know, what you ultimately want from the team and finding their groove. Do you think like when you look at the team and you think, what does finding their groove look like? Or what does a baseline Cubs line up and makeup look like to you?
You're talking about who's where or just saying?
No, just more so like when you're thinking about the Cubs and if the expectation is for them to be a tick over 500, you know, what does that look like? It looks like, you know, Stroman pitching well at the top of the lineup. Is it Smiley continuing to be? Is it, you know, those guys, you know, performing? Like, what does that look like?
I think it looks like, For the large part, the starting rotation pitching well. And when I say starting rotation pitching well, you look up and you see how any given starter has done his last five starts, and he's at the Cubs have won at least, you know, 2 to 3 of those games. Mm. And like Stroman, for example, today, you know, he hasn't gotten a win in a long time. He hasn't won since April 18th. There, not only has he not won a game in the previous four starts, the Cubs haven't won those games. And it hasn't always been his fault. They lost 3-1 the last time out, 2-1 the game before that, 3-2 the game before
his ERA
that.
ERA is crazy.
And 7-3. And so, like, he's only given up more than two runs once in his last five games, but he only has one win to show for it.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of that is going up against other teams, good pitchers, but also what is your bullpen doing, which clearly they've held them in those games, but the offense, as you said, has to come up. And I have a lot of confidence that this offense is going to start rolling a little bit more.
And that's what a lot of people were saying at the beginning of the season, right? This team's success will be predicated on pitching and defense. And it will be whether or not, you know, the offense can come through in certain situations. But the talent is there. That's the thing with the Chicago Cubs team. I mean, like you mentioned, Christopher Morel being called up, being a contributor. You know, you got Dansby Swanson. Ian has been playing well. Saya, you know, there. Patrick Wisdom, as you mentioned earlier, you know, leading the league in slugging. Trey Mancini, you know he's capable. Matt Mervis. I mean, the team is there. It's just, you know, finding it on any given day and the ability to perform at a high level. And, you know, they get an opportunity to do it today. Louis Varlin, you know, for the Twins, you know, has had a tough couple of outings, but, you know, something that Cubs should be able to capitalize on. You know, over his last couple of games, just, you know, giving up some earned runs that you would think the Cubs, if they can, you know, he's a high strikeout pitcher, So that's going to be the tough part there, right? Like, you know he's going to be wheeling and dealing. But again, if the Cubs can jump on him early, it's a day game. You know, things like that are going to be good. Sean, you expecting Shady Sears, you expecting a victory today or what, bro?
Yeah, honestly, I think this is a good matchup. And the Cubs will strike out. That's going to happen. But there's still enough contact in their lineup where they can fight through some of this. This guy doesn't walk a ton of guys, but it feels like the Cubs' approach these last couple games has been more attack those early fastballs, especially for a guy like Seiya Suzuki, who's like just terrible against anything not fast. So it's he's like slugging like 0-4 or something or whatever against like
change. Yeah, the off-speed stuff is not his friend.
No,
we found that out last
time
year
picking up the spin, and that's normal for guys coming from the MPB. But yeah, I think this is a guy that if the Cubs attack that fastball early on, they might have some good runs against them. And then like you said earlier in the show, Gabe, like, he just got smoked. Like, they're going to come out and want to swing the heavy.
Yeah, and that's going to be the hope. He's Sean Sears, our producer today. I'm Gabe Ramirez. He's Marshall Harris from CBS2. Make sure you guys check him out tonight. Do you hate when I say that, or I'm trying to plug you up?
No, plug me to saying. Death. I would right, plug right, okay. you to death. What are you okay. talking about?
Well, because sometimes, you know, people are like, gosh, you don't have to say, you know, I'm still Marshall Harris with you hanging out.
No, I understand
now.
How radio works, so okay, we just keep telling people. Yeah, I'm trying to paint a picture. Let them know.
Every couple minutes. 10:37 tonight. Marshall will be on. Make sure you guys check him out there. But for the in the present, he is hanging out with me. We're filling in for Matt Spiegel. It takes both of us to do Matt's job. Few people are more passionate about baseball than he. So here we are, leading you right into Cubs pregame. That starts at 12:35, first pitch, 1:10 p.m. As mentioned, Marcus Stroman on the bump today for the Chicago Cubs. And it should be a good one. On the other side of town, Lucas Giolito. Going to be holding things down for the Chicago White Sox, as we heard from Josh Nelson earlier today. You know, he has been on a tear, pitches well at home, and has been striking out people at a high rate. But, you know, do you think that, you know, why are the Astros so scary? Just because they've been doing it consistently for so long?
Yeah, that'll do that. Yeah. Sometimes, at some point, the brand becomes the brand. It's like, why are the Warriors scary, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know what they're capable of. Yeah. You've seen it. Even though they may not be the same iteration of what they were, you know, when they won their first World Series, they're still those guys. And also, they are the reigning world champs.
Yeah.
They're the reigning world champs.
I guess
that's we just saw it happen.
Yeah. Sox won yesterday, though.
Sox what?
There's this thing called the victory. Sox have a few of them, but one of them did happen yesterday.
Yeah, they won yesterday. They can win again. They can win the season series.
Which would be awesome.
Like, so you got to take the dubs when you can get them, because the L's are coming.
No, dude. What?
That's my life. Wait, hold on. Let me back up. That's my actual philosophy on life. Oh. Celebrate each and every win, because those L's keep coming.
He's saying more White Sox losses, Gabe.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't even saying White Sox losses. I was just saying in general. Mm-hmm. Celebrate the dubs, because the L's will continue to stack up.
I am a firm believer in that as well. When the highs are high, don't get too high. And when the lows are low, don't get too low, because life is never going to stay in that space.
In theory, yeah, in theory, you're right.
No, that's right in general.
I've lived a long life, and
man, you're
let me
right
tell
now.
You.
You're doing all right.
Am
right
I doing
now.
All right?
You're on 670 score at 12
o'clock.
Oh, no,
I'm doing all right. In a professional sense, yes.
Right.
People would kill to be opposite of you, Gabe, on a Sunday morning.
No.
They would kill. This is a great. I was asked by Ryan Porth.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, can you do these dates? And I was like, with who?
You were just on with Danny Parkins. Don't say that.
I was like, Gabe, they asked me on Parkins and Spiegel, who's my favorite person to co-host with on the score? That was, what is the thing they do at the very end?
Questions or ask me anything. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Ask anything. And I said, Gabe Ramirez.
That's because we were coming up next.
I
heard that.
I was like, I've worked with him multiple times. We have a good time.
We do.
I'll accept it.
I am pretty awesome.
I wanted to ask you guys this, though.
Sean, who's your favorite radio host to work with?
Okay, don't do this to me. I work with you more than anyone, probably, so you.
Oh, so that was just attrition. That was just attrition right there. All right.
What were you going to ask us over there?
So I know we talked a little bit about this AJ comment about like Juan Uribe and the 05 White Sox.
We need to wrap that up. Yeah,
let me play this audio for you guys. I want to get your guys' reaction, because like, obviously I'm a Cubs fan. Spiegel's like a Red Sox fan, but he's adopted the Cubs more than anything.
Yeah. And you weren't even born in 2005, so I mean...
Okay, 92. Okay. I was made fun of a lot that year, jerk. But yeah, here's this clip for you guys.
Juan Uribe did a lot of really cool things.
Care to elaborate?
I mean, have you seen game 4 of the 2005 World Series, the catch he made where he dove in the crowd? Nobody talks about it because it was the White Sox, not the Yankees.
No, tell us about it. Was he pissed?
Ninth inning.
Yeah.
Bottom of the ninth, we're up 1-0. Runner on second. Foul pop in whatever they call it now, Minute Maid. And he runs over, jumps into the crowd, full extension, catches it for the second out. Next play, slow roller to the shortstop. Phew, throws out Palmeiro. Orlando Palmeiro, I mean, made two incredible plays to end the World Series. No mention.
Nothing. No. Did you guys talk about it? Like, oh, it's not Jeter, so it didn't happen?
Yeah, pretty. I mean, that's pretty much what I just said.
But I'm saying, at the time?
Oh, yeah.
You guys were like,
that was
oh,
one of the best
really?
Plays you'll ever see that no one will ever talk about.
So why do the 05 White Sox get no love? That team was really good.
Really good. Had one of the best postseason runs ever.
I mean, like, literally the best. It's insane.
It, complete game on complete game on complete game on complete game on complete game. I think, you know, the most disrespectful thing is when they put up those, like, graphics that say, like, oh, who are the champions in Chicago, and then they leave off the White Sox in 2005.
Where does that happen? I haven't seen that. So,
oh, multiple times.
ESPN's done it a couple times.
Twice.
Yeah.
Twice, where they left them off.
It was, like, twice in, like, a three-month period, too.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's like, how, what do you mean you don't remember the White Sox beating the Astros, who had, like, three Hall of Famers on their
team? Okay, here's my question. I remember that. I watched it. Yeah. Obviously, White Sox fan. Do you think it would get more recognition if it hadn't been just a clean sweep? Like, if they had been, like, a Game 6, Game 7 moment, would that make it more of a standout series in people's minds who weren't fans of either team?
No, because I think that when you were looking at that particular World Series, two teams in the central part of the country. And so when you remove yourself from the East Coast and the West Coast, you're just not going to get as much coverage. And I do remember that, where I remember, like, no one's watching this because it's not a team on the East Coast or West Coast facing the White Sox. And so, you know, you have Houston, who at the time, you know, wasn't the behemoth that it is now in terms of, you know, population and, you know, where it ranks among cities in the country.
That's true.
And then, you know, you have the White Sox, who, you know, they have a, you know, smaller fan base than the Cubs. And so I think when you have those two teams pitted against each other, it was that. I mean, they swept the Houston Astros. It's like where, when does that happen in any sports in a finals? You know?
Yeah, no, like, it's been a while. Like, I remember when the Lakers went, what, 16-1, and the Iverson crossover is literally the only game they lost the entire postseason.
Yeah. See?
Like,
and look how excited you get about something like that.
But the step over was amazing.
It was amazing. But yeah, I think it's that. I think, you know, if you were to ask someone, you know, who were the starting pitchers for the White Sox during that run, you know, you're not going to be able to have some sort of, like, standout stuff. Like, nobody's really trying to talk about Freddy Garcia.
El Duque.
But I love El Duque.
But El Duque, those were guys that came from, like, they're more remembered for being on the Yankees. You know what I'm saying? Contreras, like, those guys are more known for that, more so than what they did for the White Sox in that year.
That was a team kind of not necessarily like journeymen, but kind of like a team that came together all of a sudden. But that was also still a team. Like, I mean, they petered off a little bit in September, but, like, everyone, that was like a 110-win team. They didn't lose it.
I remember every first inning, Scotty Pods was scoring a run. And I just felt like the Sox were ahead every first inning the whole season. And it wasn't something that they could keep up. And then they did all the way through. Ooh, I don't want to get too defensive because I feel it coming on.
You already are, but that's okay because you're a fan and the fan comes out. And that's why I'm here, is to regulate your fandom.
Which you shouldn't, because the White Sox 2005 team was amazing.
It was. Notice I haven't argued with you on anything you've said.
Okay.
I'm with you.
Tadahito Oguchi, stud. Juan Uribe, as he mentioned, stud.
I'm just here for Jermaine Dye.
It was a great contract, 3-year, $9 million. I still remember it because I thought to myself, what a steal. And then he comes through. World Series MVP. Like, are you kidding me? Like, stud. It's a great team. Aaron Rowan, Scotty Pods. I mean, AJ dropped their strike in Anaheim. Like,
but
come on.
It wasn't a drop third strike.
Hey, say what you want to say. He made the play work.
Made it believable. It
made it believable. It was great.
I had Bobby Jenks on my fantasy team. So
Bobby
that.
Jenks was stud. Like, fastball, curveball. Like, that's all you need. Like, two pitches and just being dominant in the ninth. All right.
I love the glow on your face right now as you discuss the 2005.
I don't have much to be happy about as a Sox fan. So anytime anybody wants to bring up the 2005 World Series, I'm here for it. Like I mentioned, when he was talking about Juan Uribe diving into the stands to catch that ball, that's where I was sitting at when I went to Houston and I stood up when the Sox were sucking a couple years ago and mentioned, this is a museum. This is where the White Sox won the 2005 World Series. Thank you guys for allowing me into this space. It's beautiful. Hospitality is great.
Yo, you're hilarious. That the way he's framing this.
Because what else am I supposed to do? We're getting our ass whooped in Houston.
No, I like that. I like that you're bringing up the positives to it, to an overall negative situation that you're going through right now.
Yes.
It's a mark of a man that mentally can prepare himself for anything.
It is. Ask me how I feel about the White Sox in the present.
How do you feel about the White Sox in the present? Do you feel worse about the White Sox in the present or knowing what the future is going to look like?
Oh, my God.
That was a rough follow-up question.
What a painful question.
Yeah, I didn't
see. Do you want to see your mom die or your dad die? Which one would you prefer, Gabe? Oh, my God.
My bad.
Yeah, I think to be very honest, because people have been asking me about this all season long, you know, knowing that I am a Sox fan. They're like, dude, what's going on? Honestly, I am not as emotionally invested in this team in particular.
This iteration.
As I have been my entire life. And it's because of last year. And I think what last year did to me just damned me so much.
Broke your heart.
In a million pieces. To where, you know, everyone after every game was waiting for the White Sox to turn it around. As Josh Nelson put, people thought the window was wide open, but what we realized, like a bird running into a window, it was closed.
Oh, that's very okay. That's one way to look at it.
And so I am the crow laying on the floor thinking it was open, and I'm damned now. So this season I came in and I'm like, I am not here for the conversation. I am not here for the window. I am not here for
You're just here
Eloy.
For the results. Show me what's going on.
I'm here to talk about it on 670 to score and be a hopeful Sox fan without being emotionally invested. And I think a lot of Sox fans were like that at the beginning of the season. But then it was funny. Once the Sox won their first series, you know, a month and a half into the season, like all the diehards, even though we all hated the White Sox, everybody was just like, I know I'm supposed to hate the White Sox, but we back, baby. Because that's how sick we are as fans.
I think you can be disappointed more with the organization than the day-to-day results of the team. And I think once your darkness spreads throughout your body and that you don't even want to acknowledge the day-to-day team, that's a different level of hate.
It is.
It's like one thing to be like, this organization doesn't know what they're doing, and to be like, I don't approve of what the front office is doing, and therefore I'm not really in on the White Sox, but I'll watch them because they're on, to just, I don't want any parts of this.
It's like John Morant. You know, you want to bring them in, like you want to love them, right? But then they make another mistake and you're just like, man, you know what? I'll watch your highlights. I might catch a box score here and there, but I'm not following your career anymore.
I'm unfollowing you on IG Live and all your friends.
I definitely don't want to follow you on IG Live at all. But that's how I feel about the White Sox. And you know, just like any real fan, you sit back and you wait for your organization to do the right thing, to get back into relevancy, so that way you can support them the way that you actually want to. And I think that's where I'm at right now. You can appreciate guys that are on the roster. I love seeing Dylan Cease pitch. I do love seeing Giolito pitch. I actually genuinely love seeing him pitch. I love watching Luis Robert play. I like Yoan Moncada at the corner. You know, I love T.A. I think he's just such a gamer.
I mean, you're naming like the whole lineup at this point.
I was saying, guys, just a couple guys here and there, you know?
I'm just saying, there's only nine guys who play in the field.
I mean, Andrew Vaughn's awesome. I mean, Gavin Sheets, when he gets an opportunity to get out there. Benintendi was a great signing.
You really are a fan. Do you miss
Lory Garcia, though?
Wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
It's my guy. No, of course. I mean, there's a bunch of Lory Garcias on the White Sox right now. That's what it seems like. It's just what it is.
You know who they could really use?
Stop it. See, now they're gonna
Vince Velasquez. I don't know if you've seen him. He's on his
season. Right.
He's looked really good.
Right.
Yeah,
you're right. Vince Velasquez, except when the White Sox beat up on him when they played the Pirates.
Right, yeah.
Let's not forget that.
I'm with you there. I'm just saying, like,
but guys like that, Johnny Cueto, like gamers, the guys that really want to get out there and get the ball, you know, every 5 days, or come out every day and just put their best foot forward. Not to say that these guys aren't, but you know,
I just feel like you're in a moment of hospice right now with you on the White Sox.
Oh my God.
It's true.
You laugh because it's true. You're like, yes, I'm just waiting for this thing to die.
Here's why. Yeah, you know the situation. You know the end result. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah. But then when I go to the lineup, you know what I mean? Like today's game, 1 o'clock,
You get excited.
Giolito versus Hunter Bryant.
You get excited.
And you say to yourself, oh my God, Tim Anderson, Andrew Benintendi, Andrew Vaughn, Yoan Moncada, Luis Robert Jr., Gavin Sheets, who I love, Jake Berger in the lineup today, Hanser Alberto, and Zebby Zavala. Zebby, I've always been a fan of his for the last couple of years. But I see that lineup and I'm like, how? How are they not going to, like, how are they not going to put together four or five runs? And then Giolito holds them to two, and the, maybe the bullpen comes in and gives up another one. And then they win 5-3. If they do today, let's cut that clip, Sean Sears. But that's what I'm saying. I look at that lineup, and I can't.
I have a question. Cause you just only because you mentioned the signing, and you like the Andrew Benintendi signing.
I do like
who hits a home run first, Jose Abreu or Andrew Benintendi?
Watch Jose go yard today. That's going to happen. I think it's going to be Jose Abreu.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you see the awkward hug he and Tim Anderson had?
Everything's awkward. I've kind of accepted it.
But did you see it?
I didn't see it. But
they give a hug first, and then Jose Abreu doesn't let go, and he starts to say something to Tim Anderson in his ear, and then Tim Anderson's chirping back, but Tim Anderson's arms are like
let me go,
removed,
let me go,
more like a nah man, what's up, like
hugs, hugs.
All right. You guys are going to get a lot of Cubs in just a little bit, all right? Cubs first pitch starting at 110, right here on 670, the score. Pregame starting in just a second. Zach Zaveman got you right there. Cubs taking on the Twins. Hope they win because I want them to win the series, like you were saying, Marshall.
Listen, I want all the Chicago teams to win. Do something. It's like that old meme, like the stick. Do something. Okay. Do something.
It's going to be a good day in Chicago because I think both teams are going to win today. So you're going to have a good time talking tonight on CBS 2.
Yeah, Sports Extra, 10:37.
When else can people catch you during the week, man?
4, 5, 6, 10. Yeah, I hit them. I hit them like
Sunday
that.
Sunday
through Thursday.
4, 5, 6, and 10?
4, 5, 6, and 10.
It's a long day.
Bro, it's not that long.
Okay.
I've done more.
All right, make sure you check them out. Sean, give me the music, man. Let's wrap this thing up. And don't play Go Cubs Go. As my wrap up music to play Go Cubs Go. So funny. All right.
I don't think ever actually. I was told initially at one point we're not allowed to play Go Cubs.
Okay. Well, forget about that for a second. I do need to say Happy Mother's Day to my mother Wendy
and her
mother Johnny, down in Alabama holding it down for those of
us. I know they're listening on the Odyssey app.
They've had the Odyssey app, but I'll get that installed my next trip home.
Cannot be on this station next time until your mom downloads the Odyssey app.
But happy Mother's Day to them. They've done a wonderful job. As you can see, I am the product of their wonderful job.
And I would agree with that statement. Guys, now that you did that,
yep.
My mom's probably in an Uber coming home from Mexico right now. No, I'm not Mexican. I'm Puerto Rican, but they just came back from Mexico, my brother. So happy Mother's Day to her. My wife is most certainly driving back from Wisconsin Dells right now with my two kids, and she's certainly listening. So a special happy Mother's Day to her. She spent all weekend with the girls. Nobody does it better than my wife, man. A shout out to Nicole for that one. Sean Sears, you want to say happy Mother's Day to your mom real quick before we go?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I called her this morning. Yeah. But yeah. Happy Mother's Day, Mom, if you're listening. Thank you. I love you.
Your son does a great job here at 670 The Square. I will tell you that. All right. Want to thank our producer today, Sean Sears. I'll omit the shady just because I know Moms is listening. I want to thank our guests today. Of course, we had Josh Nelson hanging out with us. We also had Russell Dorsey at 11 o'clock. And then our guy, Kylie from ESPN.
Kylie McDaniel.
McDaniel from ESPN, our baseball insider as well. Got to thank Marshall Harris for hanging out today.
Thanks for having me.
Fast 3.5 hours. Look forward to working with you again, my guy. And then, as we mentioned, coming up next, pregame, Cubs, Twins. That happens right after this. Mi gente, my people, hasta la próxima. I'm Gabe Ramirez. He's Marshall Harris. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. you remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and run.
Same game. So anything changed? Or same, because I can say like the pitcher here, they got more experience. But the more experience you got, I need to take my pitch. Oh, no. If I see the pitch in the right and so on, I need to make this adjustment and get good contact. If it's not in the zone, I need to take it. So it's the same baseball, just different stadiums.
Christopher Morel right there talking about, you know, the
difference. You know, I love him, right?
He's your favorite player. He's your biggest superstar in 5 years.
I ain't say all that, but go ahead.
he's the guy that makes you want to watch Cubs baseball right
exactly.
now, which is good. I mean, you want the exciting players. You want passionate players. I mean, that's what makes baseball fun, especially at this level where you can translate your youth and your love for the game and still do it at a high level. At the biggest level in Major League Baseball. And so it's good. It's good that he's up. I'll never forget. I was listening to Mullion Hall, and Dustin was getting into it with Mullion Hall because Dustin was upset. Dustin, the executive producer of Mullion Hall, was upset that on the first day of being called up, he didn't get into the game. And then he's like, at least a pinch hit. They're like, there was a pinch hit opportunity, and he's like, you should have brought Morel. Like, why isn't he playing? Like, he should have been there in that moment. And then Mullion Hall were just getting on him. Like, dude, he just got there. He probably got off a plane. Like, blah, 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 blah. And then the next game when he plays, he hits the home run. And I just was cheering for Dustin because I was like, see, this is what he was talking about.
But maybe he wouldn't hit the home run just to play devil's advocate.
Don't, right, right.
If,
don't
if,
do
he,
that.
If he hadn't had the nice day of just getting
or
back
maybe
to,
he would have.
Or maybe he would have, okay. But maybe he wouldn't have.
But maybe
look,
he would
have. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm just letting you know there's always another side to the proverbial coin.
I hear it. That's your sports broadcaster.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Now, that's just me, the sports
CBS
fan growing
Marshall
up.
Marshall Harris, catch him tonight, 10:37.
Hey, man. I mean, I think Nick Madrigal is the guy that got the at-bat. Maybe he hits the home run.
Okay, Nicky Two Strikes is definitely not hitting that
home. Not Nicky Two Strikes. Yeah. That's what we're doing?
Nicky Two Strikes is awesome. He's former White Sox. Love that guy.
But the...
That's right. That's where he came from. That's right.
It is where he came from.
He was
you're welcome.
The fourth overall pick.
Hey, hey, hey. See what he's doing there? I'm trying to show some love to the Cubs, and I just wanted to put some facts out there that he came from.
He's
the
like,
White
how
Sox
can I shade the White Sox in
so
my.
What he does. Shady Sean. Damn.
Shady Sean. Sean the Shader. However,
as you said that, I was like, that's going
to
stick.
That's too good to
Shady
not stick.
Sean.
Shady Sean. Triple S.
The important thing is Christopher Morel is out here doing work.
Yes.
And having fun.
And contributing.
Look, these people who don't want people to have fun, the old timers,
yeah.
if you will, the people,
yeah.
the men.
Get off my lawn.
Yelling at the clouds and all that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know what? The game, just like life, will soon pass you by. It's fine.
How do you think the Cubs bounce back from an 11-1 schlacking yesterday by the Minnesota Twins?
Stroman's on the mound. They'll bounce back just fine.
That's what I think.
It's fine. It's 162 games. I don't get too. This isn't the NFL. I don't get too wrapped up in one game.
Okay.
Ever.
It's just like with the lineup changes, sometimes it gets tough when you see out there. Stroman hasn't had a victory since April 7th.
So he's due, is what you're saying.
I know purists don't care about wins. I, as a baseball fan, do. But he hasn't had one since April 7th. But he's pitched 6 innings in every single game this year except for one. At least 6 innings. That's impressive.
The one thing I'll say is what I do love is that Christopher Morel's now at the top of the order as opposed to the bottom of the order.
Okay.
He came, you know, he's always 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Now he's leading off. And that's, I need that energy off the rip. And I wonder when Nico Horner comes back, what they're going to do.
The Cubs do have one of those issues where it's like, you know, you have a lot of B-level players. And so there's no one that necessarily stands out that are that becomes an A, and that's what you're hoping for. That, you know, you're able to differentiate and figure out who is the hot hand, so to speak, in a given moment. And that's where Ross is, you know, tasked with doing that day in and day out.
I talked to David Ross before the season started, sat down with him in Arizona, and he was just like, look, this is the most prepared I've been as a manager, plus with the roster, to do something. And so he understands people are watching him and paying attention to what he's doing. Because before, when he had a team that wasn't bad in year one, but was certainly didn't get him back to where they wanted to be, he was an inexperienced manager. Now he is an experienced manager. So it's time to put those experiences, the learning experiences, to work.
Yeah. And he is. He's doing it in real time, and we're seeing it. I mean, if you would have talked to most Cubs fans and said, hey, 39 games into the season, the Cubs are going to be one game under 500. Shady Sears. If I would have told you 39 games into the season, the Cubs would be one game under 500.
Yeah, I'm
taking it. What say you?
I'm
of course. Right.
Definitely taking it with a plus 42 run differential.
Right. Especially that's the other thing, too. Like, you look at their, like, it's like their Pythagorean win theory. Basically, just, like, accounts for how many runs the Cubs have scored compared to how many runs they've given up. They're actually 24-14 in that regard. So, like, numbers are showing they're not playing great, like, as a whole, but, like, their records aren't showing how great they're playing as a whole, but, like, they're a lot better than their record shows, and if they start getting some of that offensive performance a little bit more, they could possibly, like, maybe not run away with the NL Central, but be one of the best teams in that division.
Yeah, I mean, they've had some tough stretches, right? Like, if you're looking at the beginning of the season, you know, where you're dropping three in a row there, then they get hot. Then they come back, drop, you know, three in a row a little bit later. And, like, they had those spurts where they're hitting those small losing streaks. And then when they win by a large margin because the bats are showing up. But, you know, it's like any team in Major League Baseball, you're talking about consistency. You know, what you ultimately want from the team and finding their groove. Do you think like, when you look at the team and you think, what does finding their groove look like? Or what does a baseline Cubs line up and makeup look like to you?
You're talking about who's where, or just saying?
No, just more so like when you're thinking about the Cubs, and if the expectation is for them to be a tick over 500, you know, what does that look like? It looks like, you know, Stroman pitching well at the top of the lineup. Is it Smiley continuing to be? Is it, you know those guys, you know, performing? Like, what does that look like?
I think it looks like, For the large part, the starting rotation pitching well. And when I say starting rotation pitching well, you look up and you see how any given starter has done his last five starts, and he's at the Cubs have won at least, you know, two to three of those games. Mm. And like Stroman, for example, today, you know, he hasn't gotten a win in a long time. He hasn't won since April 18th. There, not only has he not won a game in the previous four starts, the Cubs haven't won those games. And it hasn't always been his fault. They lost 3-1 the last time out, 2-1 the game before that, 3-2 the game before
that.
His
ERA is crazy.
And 7-3. And so, like, he's only given up more than two runs once in his last five games, but he only has one win to show for it.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of that is going up against other teams' good pitchers, but also what is your bullpen doing, which clearly they've held them in those games, but the offense, as you said, has to come up. And I have a lot of confidence that this offense is going to start rolling a little bit more.
And that's what a lot of people were saying at the beginning of the season, right? This team's success will be predicated on pitching and defense. And it will be whether or not, you know, the offense can come through in certain situations. But the talent is there. That's the thing with the Chicago Cubs team. I mean, like you mentioned, Christopher Morel being called up, being a contributor. You know, you got Dansby Swanson. Ian Hasn't playing well. Saya, you know, there. Patrick Wisdom, as you mentioned earlier, you know, leading the league in slugging. Trey Mancini, you know he's capable. Matt Mervis. I mean, the team is there. It's just, you know, finding it on any given day and the ability to perform at a high level. And, you know, they get an opportunity to do it today. Louis Varlin, you know, for the Twins, you know, has had a tough couple of outings, but, you know, something that Cubs should be able to capitalize on. You know, over his last couple of games, just, you know, giving up some earned runs that you would think the Cubs, if they can, you know, he's a high strikeout pitcher. So that's going to be the tough part there, right? Like, you know, he's going to be wheeling and dealing. But again, if the Cubs can jump on him early, it's a day game, you know, things like that are going to be good. Sean, you expecting Shady Sears, you expecting a victory today or what, bro?
Yeah, honestly, I think this is a good matchup. And the Cubs will strike out. That's going to happen. But there's still enough contact in their lineup where they can fight through some of this. This guy doesn't walk a ton of guys, but it feels like the Cubs' approach these last couple games has been more attack those early fastballs, especially for a guy like Seiya Suzuki, who's like just terrible against anything not fast. So it's he's like slugging like 0-4 or something or whatever against like
change. Yeah, the off-speed stuff is not his friend.
No,
we found that out last
time
year.
Picking up the spin, and that's normal for guys coming from the MPB. But yeah, I think this is a guy that if the Cubs attack that fastball early on, they might have some good runs against them. And then like you said earlier in the show, Gabe, like they just got smoked. Like they're going to come out and want to swing the heavy.
Yeah, and that's going to be the hope. He's Sean Sears, our producer today. I'm Gabe Ramirez. He's Marshall Harris from CBS2. Make sure you guys check him out tonight. Do you hate when I say that, or I'm trying to plug you up?
No, plug me to saying. Death. I would right, plug right, okay. you to death. What are you okay. talking about?
Well, because sometimes you know people are like, "Gosh, you don't got to say." You know, I'm still Marshall Harris with you. Hanging
no,
out
I
right
understand
now.
How radio works. So okay, we just keep telling people. Yeah,
I'm trying to paint a picture.
Let them know
every couple minutes. 10:37 tonight. Marshall will be on. Make sure you guys check him out there. But for the in the present, he is hanging out with me. We're filling in for Matt Spiegel. It takes both of us to do Matt's job. Few people are more passionate about baseball than he. So here we are, leading you right into Cubs pregame. That starts at 12:35, first pitch, 1:10 p.m. As mentioned, Marcus Stroman on the bump today for the Chicago Cubs. And it should be a good one. On the other side of town, Lucas Giolito going to be holding things down for the Chicago White Sox, as we heard from Josh Nelson earlier today. You know, he has been on a tear, pitches well at home, and has been striking out people at a high rate. But, you know, do you think that, you know, why are the Astros so scary? Just because they've been doing it consistently for so long?
Yeah, that'll do that. Yeah. Sometimes, at some point, the brand becomes the brand. It's like, why are the Warriors scary, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know what they're capable of. Yeah. You've seen it. Even though they may not be the same iteration of what they were, you know, when they won their first World Series, they're still those guys. And also, they are the reigning world champs.
Yeah.
They're the reigning world champs.
I guess
that's right. We just saw it happen.
Yeah. Sox won yesterday, though.
Sox what?
There's this thing called the victory. Sox have a few of them, but one of them did happen yesterday.
Yeah, they won yesterday. They can win again. They can win the season series.
Which would be awesome.
Like, so you got to take the dubs when you can get them because the L's are coming.
No, dude. What?
That's my life. Wait, hold on. Let me back up. That's my actual philosophy on life. Oh. Celebrate each and every win because those L's keep coming.
He's saying more White Sox losses, Gabe.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't even saying White Sox losses. I was just saying in general. Celebrate the dubs because the L's will continue to stack up.
I am a firm believer in that as well. When the highs are high, don't get too high. And when the lows are low, don't get too low because life is never going to stay in that space.
In theory, yeah, in theory, you're right.
No, that's right in general.
This is what it is, bro. I've lived a long life, and
man, you're
let me
right
tell
now.
You.
You're doing all right.
Am
right
I doing
now.
All right?
You're on 670 score at 12
o'clock.
Oh, no,
I'm doing all right. In my professional sense, yes.
Right.
No one's – people would kill to be opposite – of you, Gabe, on a Sunday morning.
No.
They would kill. This is a great. I was asked by Ryan Porth.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, can you do these dates? And I was like, with who?
You were just not with Danny Parkins. Don't say that.
I was like, Gabe, they asked me on Parkins and Spiegel, who's my favorite person to co-host with on the score? That was, what is the thing they do at the very end?
Questions or ask me anything.
Yeah,
whatever.
Ask anything. I said Gabe Ramirez.
That's because we were coming up next.
I heard that.
You're like,
I was like, I've worked with him multiple times. We have a good time.
We do.
That's all I was saying.
All right. I'll accept it. I am pretty awesome.
I wanted to ask you guys this, though.
Sean, who's your favorite radio host to work with?
Okay, don't do this to me. I work with you more than anyone, probably, so you.
Oh, so that was just attrition. That was just attrition right there. All right.
What were you going to ask us over there?
So I know we talked a little bit about this AJ comment about like Juan Uribe and the 05 White Sox.
We need to wrap that up. Yeah,
let me play this audio for you guys. I want to get your guys' reaction because like obviously I'm a Cubs fan. Spiegel's like a Red Sox fan, but he's adopted the Cubs more than anything.
Yeah. And you weren't even born in 2005, so I mean.
Okay, 92.
Okay.
I was made fun of a lot that year, jerk. But yeah, here's this clip for you guys. On.
Juan Uribe did a lot of really cool things.
Care to elaborate?
I mean, have you seen game 4 of the 2005 World Series, the catch he made where he dove in the crowd? Nobody talks about it because it was the White Sox, not the Yankees.
No, tell I gotta us about look it. That up. Was he look, pissed?
Ninth inning.
Yeah.
Bottom of the ninth, we're up 1-0. Runner on second. Foul pop in whatever they call it now, Minute Maid. And he runs over, jumps into the crowd, full extension, catches it for the second out. Next play, slow roller to the shortstop. Phew, throws out Palmeiro. Orlando Palmeiro, I mean, made two incredible plays to end the World Series. No mention.
Nothing. No. Did you guys talk about it? Like, oh, it's not Jeter, so it didn't happen?
Yeah, pretty. I mean, that's pretty much what I just said.
But I'm saying, at the time?
Oh, yeah.
You guys were like, we're like,
that was,
oh,
one of the best,
really,
plays you'll ever see that no one will ever talk about.
So why do the 05 White Sox get no love? That team was really good.
Really good. Had one of the best postseason runs ever.
I mean, like, literally the best. It's insane.
It, complete game on complete game on complete game on complete game on complete game. I think, you know, the most disrespectful thing is when they put up those, like, graphics that say, like, oh, who are the champions in Chicago, and then they leave off the White Sox in 2005.
Where does that happen? I haven't seen that. So,
oh, multiple times.
ESPN's done it a couple times.
Twice.
Yeah.
Twice, where they left them off.
It was like twice in like a 3-month period too.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's like, how, what do you mean you don't remember the White Sox beating the Astros, who had like three Hall of Famers on their team?
Okay, here's my question. I remember that. I watched it. Yeah. Obviously, White Sox fan. Do you think it would get more recognition if it hadn't been just a clean sweep? Like, if they had been like a game 6, game 7 moment, would that make it more of a standout series in people's minds who weren't fans of either team?
No, because I think that when you were looking at that particular World Series, two teams in the central part of the country, and so when you remove yourself from the East Coast and the West Coast, you're just not going to get as much coverage. And I do remember that, where I remember, like, no one's watching this because it's not a team on the East Coast or West Coast facing the White Sox. And so, you know, you have Houston, who at the time, you know, wasn't the behemoth that it is now in terms of, you know, population and, you know, where it ranks among cities in the country.
That's true.
And then, you know, you have the White Sox, who, you know, they have a, you know, smaller fan base than the Cubs. And so I think when you have those two teams pitted against each other, it was that. I mean, they swept the Houston Astros. It's like where, when does that happen in any sports in the finals? You know
what I'm saying? Yeah, no, like, it's been a while. Like, I remember when the Lakers went, what, 16-1. And the Iverson crossover is literally the only game they lost the entire postseason.
Yeah, see,
like,
and look how excited you get about something like that.
But the step over was amazing.
It was amazing. But yeah, I think it's that. I think, you know, if you were to ask someone, you know, who were the starting pitchers for the White Sox during that run, you know, you're not going to be able to have some sort of like standout stuff. Like, nobody's really trying to talk about Freddie Garcia.
El Duque.
But I love El Duque.
But El Duque, those were guys that came from, like, they're more remembered for being on the Yankees. You know what I'm saying? Contreras, like, those guys are more known for that, more so than what they did for the White Sox in that year.
That was a team kind of not necessarily like journeyman, but kind of like a team that came together all of a sudden. But yeah, that was also still a team. Like, I mean, they petered off a little bit in September, but like, everyone, that was like a 110 win team. They didn't lose it.
I remember every first inning, Scotty Pods was scoring a run. And I just felt like the Sox were ahead every first inning the whole season. And it wasn't something that they could keep up. And then they did all the way through. Ooh, I don't want to get too defensive because I feel it coming on.
You already are, but that's okay because you're a fan and the fan comes out. And that's why I'm here, is to regulate your fandom.
Which you shouldn't, because the White Sox 2005 team was amazing.
It was. Notice I haven't argued with you on anything you've said.
Okay.
I'm with you.
Tadahito Oguchi, stud. Juan Uribe, as he mentioned, stud.
I'm just here for Jermaine Dye.
That was a great contract. 3-year, $9 million. I still remember it because I thought to myself, what a steal. And then he comes through. World Series MVP. Like, are you kidding me? Like, stud. It's a great team. Aaron Rowan, Scotty Pods. I mean, AJ, drop third strike, and Anaheim, like,
but
come on.
But it wasn't a drop third strike.
Hey, say what you want to say. He made the play work.
He made it
believable. It was great.
I had Bobby Jenks on my fantasy team, so
Bobby
that.
Jenks was stud. Like, fastball, curveball, like, that's all you need. Like, two pitches and just being dominant in the ninth. All right.
I love the glow on your face right now as you discuss the 2005.
I don't have much to be happy about as a Sox fan. So anytime anybody wants to bring up the 2005 World Series, I'm here for it. Like I mentioned, when he was talking about Juan Uribe diving into the stands to catch that ball, that's where I was sitting at when I went to Houston and I stood up when the Sox were sucking a couple years ago and mentioned, this is a museum. This is where the White Sox won the 2005 World Series. Thank you guys for allowing me into this space. It's beautiful. Hospitality is great.
Yo, you're hilarious. That the way he's framing this.
Because what else am I supposed to do? We're getting our ass whooped in Houston.
No, I like that. I like that you're bringing up the positives to it, to an overall negative situation that you're going through right now.
Yes.
It's a mark of a man that mentally can prepare himself for anything.
It is. Ask me how I feel about the White Sox in the present.
How do you feel about the White Sox in the present? Do you feel worse about the White Sox in the present or knowing what the future is going to look like?
Oh, my God.
That was a rough follow-up question.
What a painful question.
Yeah, I didn't
see. Do you want to see your mom die or your dad die? Which one would you prefer, Gabe? Oh, my God.
My bad.
Yeah, I think we're the White. I think, to be very honest, because people have been asking me about this all season long, you know, knowing that I am a Sox fan. They're like, dude, what's going on? Honestly, I am not as emotionally invested in this team in particular.
This iteration.
As I have been my entire life. And it's because of last year. And I think what last year did to me just damned me so much.
Broke your heart.
In a million pieces. To where, you know, everyone after every game was waiting for the White Sox to turn it around. As Josh Nelson put, people thought the window was wide open, but what we realized, like a bird running into a window, it was closed.
Oh, that's very okay. That's one way to look at it.
And so I am the crow laying on the floor thinking it was open, and I'm damned now. So this season I came in and I'm like, I am not here for the conversation. I am not here for the window. I am not here for
You're just here
Eloy.
For the results. Show me what's going on.
I'm here to talk about it on 670 to score and be a hopeful Sox fan without being emotionally invested. And I think a lot of Sox fans were like that at the beginning of the season. But then it was funny. Once the Sox won their first series, you know, a month and a half into the season, like all the diehards, even though we all hated the White Sox, everybody was just like, I know I'm supposed to hate the White Sox, but we back, baby. Because that's how sick we are as fans.
I think you can be disappointed more with the organization than the day-to-day results of the team. And I think once your darkness spreads throughout your body and that you don't even want to acknowledge the day-to-day team, that's a different level of hate.
It is.
It's like one thing to be like, disconnect. This organization doesn't know what they're doing, and to be like, I don't approve of what the front office is doing, and therefore I'm not really in on the White Sox, but I'll watch them because they're on, to just, I don't want any parts of this.
It's like John Morant, you know? You want to bring them in, like you want to love them, right? But then they make another mistake and you're just like, man, you know what? I'll watch your highlights. I might catch a box score here and there, but I'm not following your career anymore.
I'm unfollowing you on IG Live and all your friends.
I definitely don't want to follow you on IG Live at all. But that's how I feel about the White Sox. And you know, just like any real fan, you sit back and you wait for your organization to do the right thing, to get back into relevancy, so that way you can support them the way that you actually want to. And I think that's where I'm at right now. You can appreciate guys that are on the roster. I love seeing Dylan Cease pitch. I do love seeing Giolito pitch. I actually genuinely love seeing him pitch. I love watching Luis Robert play. I like Yoan Moncada at the corner. You know, I love TA. I think he's just such a gamer.
I mean, you're naming like the whole lineup at this point.
I was saying, guys, just a couple guys here and there, you know?
I'm just saying, there's only nine guys who play in the field.
I mean, Andrew Vaughn's awesome. I mean, Gavin Sheets, when he gets an opportunity to get out there. Benintendi was a great signing.
You really are a fan. Do you miss
Lurie Garcia, though?
Wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
That's my guy. No, of course. I mean, there's a bunch of Lurie Garcias on the White Sox right now. That's what it seems like. It's just what it is.
You know who they could really use?
Stop it. See, now they're gonna
Vince Velasquez. I don't know if you've seen him. He's looked really good.
Yeah,
he's right. Vince Velasquez, except when the White Sox beat up on him when they played the Pirates. Right,
I'm with you there. I'm just saying, like,
but guys like that, Johnny Cueto, like gamers, the guys that really want to get out there and get the ball, you know, every 5 days or come out every day and just put their best foot forward. Not to say that these guys aren't, but you know,
I just feel like you're in a moment of hospice right now with you and the White Sox.
Oh my God.
It's true.
You laugh because it's true. You're like, yes, I'm just waiting for this thing to die.
Here's why. Yeah, you know the situation. You know the end result. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah. But then when I go to the lineup, you know what I mean? Like today's game, 1:00.
You get excited.
Giolito versus Hunter Bryant.
You get excited.
And you say to yourself, oh my God, Tim Anderson, Andrew Benintendi, Andrew Vaughn, Yoan Moncada, Luis Robert Jr., Gavin Sheets, who I love, Jake Berger in the lineup today, Hanser Alberto and Zebby Zavala. Zebby, I've always been a fan of his for the last couple of years. But I see that lineup and I'm like, how? How are they not going to put together four or five runs? And then Giolito holds them to two, and then maybe the bullpen comes in and gives up another one. And then they win 5-3. If they do today, let's cut that clip, Sean Sears. But that's what I'm saying. I look at that lineup, but I can't.
I have a question. Because you mentioned the signing, and you like the Andrew Benintendi signing.
I do like
who that. Hits a home run first, Jose Abreu or Andrew Benintendi?
Watch Jose go yard today. That's going to happen. I think it's going to be Jose Abreu.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you see the awkward hug he and Tim Anderson had?
Everything's awkward. I've kind of accepted it.
But did you see it?
I didn't see it. But
they give a hug first, and then Jose Abreu doesn't let go, and he starts to say something to Tim Anderson in his ear, and then Tim Anderson's chirping back, but Tim Anderson's arms are like
let me go,
removed.
Let me go.
More like a nah, man. What's up? Like
hugs, hugs.
All right. You guys are going to get a lot of Cubs in just a little bit, all right? Cubs first pitch starting at 110, right here on 670, the score. Pregame starting in just a second. Zach Zaveman got you right there. Cubs taking on the Twins. Hope they win, because I want them to win the series, like you were saying, Marshall.
Listen, I want all the Chicago teams to win. Do something. It's like that old meme, like the stick. Do something. Okay. Do something.
It's gonna be a good day in Chicago, because I think both teams are going to win today. So you're going to have a good time talking tonight on CBS 2.
Yeah, Sports Extra, 10:37.
When else can people catch you during the week, man?
4, 5, 6, 10. Yeah. I hit them like
Sunday
that.
Sunday
through Thursday.
4, 5, 6, and 10?
4, 5, 6, and 10.
It's a long day.
Bro, it's not that long.
Okay.
I've done more.
All right, make sure you check them out. Sean, give me the music, man. Let's wrap this thing up. And don't play Go Cubs Go as my wrap-up.
Sean,
my wrap
if you
up,
want to play Go Cubs Go,
as my wrap-up music
to play Go Cubs Go.
So funny. All right.
I don't think ever actually. I was told initially at one point we're not allowed to play Go Cubs.
Okay. Well, forget about that for a second. I do need to say Happy Mother's Day to my mother Wendy
and her
mother Johnny, down in Alabama holding it down for those of
us. I know they're listening on the Odyssey app.
They've had the Odyssey app, but I'll get that installed my next trip home.
Cannot be on this station next time until your mom downloads the Odyssey app.
But Happy Mother's Day to them. They've done a wonderful job. As you can see, I am the product of their wonderful
And job. I would agree with that statement. Guys, now that you did that,
yep.
My mom's probably in an Uber coming home from Mexico right now. No, I'm not Mexican. I'm Puerto Rican, but they just came back from Mexico, my brother. So Happy Mother's Day to her. My wife is most certainly driving back from Wisconsin Dells right now with my two kids, and she's certainly listening. So a special Happy Mother's Day to her. She spent all weekend with the girls. Nobody does it better than my wife, man. A shout out to Nicole for that one. Sean Sears, you want to say Happy Mother's Day to your mom real quick before we go?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I called her this morning. Yeah. But yeah. Happy Mother's Day, Mom, if you're listening. Thank you. I love you.
Your son does a great job here at 670 The Square. I will tell you that. All right. Want to thank our producer today, Sean Sears. I'll omit the shady just because I know Mom's is listening. I want to thank our guests today. Of course, we had Josh Nelson hanging out with us. We also had Russell Dorsey at 11 o'clock. And then our guy, Kylie from ESPN.
Kylie McDaniel
from ESPN, our baseball insider as well. Got to thank Marshall Harris for hanging out today.
Thanks for having me.
Fast 3.5 hours. Look forward to working with you again, my guy. And then, as we mentioned, coming up next, pregame, Cubs, Twins. That happens right after this. Mi gente, my people, hasta la próxima. I'm Gabe Ramirez. He's Marshall Harris. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.